Man, thank you so much for joining with us this morning, man. I just pray that you are just blessed when you're here, man. I love this church. I love where we're at in this church, man. I love, Renee and I are just so blessed to lead this and to just to see God do a work in so many lives. And in this region, man, it's just truly amazing. And if you're new, if this is your first day, you're just checking us out, you've been here for a few weeks, man, we love you. We thank God that you are here. We're asking God to just continue to work in people's lives in this region, in marriages and in children and teenagers and young adults and singles, and that God would show up and do a great work. So, man, we're just so grateful that on this Sunday morning, 11:27, you find yourself right here in this seat. And man, I pray that God has already come in and done a work. And now as we get into the Word of God, man, I'm just asking that you just would ask God that you would hear from Him today. Man, that you would come to a place, say, God, that you would speak to me. God, you've already done a work in worship and just, man, just powerful time in that. But God, that I would just hear your Word this morning and that you would speak to me. Let's just ask God to just bless our time in the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. It is alive and powerful. It is active and it is effective. God, it's beautiful. It's amazing. And we thank you for it. God, speak into our lives today, please. God, reveal some things that we have not seen in our walk with you and our journey with you. God, please reveal things that we have not yet seen. Father, I ask that you would speak in this place through your Word. Father, please give me the words to speak. Help me to speak with grace, and help me to speak with just tremendous love for these people. God, I love these people and I thank you for them. I ask that you bless this time. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. Reveal to me what I may not know. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Father, please be with your favorite team, the Steelers. Bless them this year. Bring home another bowl. Amen. 19-0, folks. 19-0. We're taking it to the whole best offense the NFL has ever seen will be the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. I'm asking that God would renew his strength. Listen, the Buffalo Bills last night got rained out and they wanted to quit because of the rain. Oh, we don't want to get hurt because it's raining out, bunch of women. Come on. All right, here we go. Oh, 19-0, baby. Number one offense. Excellent. Come on. Well, hey, would you please let me preach? Come on, here we go. Amen. I am pumped about today. Listen, we are in this series called Every Day Matters. And this is a series that when you begin to realize the seeds that you plant every day, they make a difference in your everyday. And when you really begin to know, man, as a follower of Christ, as one who's given my life to Christ, the things that I do, the things that I say, the things that I see, where I'm at, the people in my lives, the influence, everything makes a difference in me, whether we're reaping or sowing or allowing people to sow into us, whatever the difference is. When you begin to understand following Jesus, every day matters. And when you realize every day matters, then it's going to change your everyday. It's going to change what comes out of our mouth. It's going to change what we do. It's going to change our marriage. It's going to change our parenting. It's going to change us as teenagers. It's going to change us as young adults who are single. When you begin to realize everything I do is a seed, and what I plant, I am going to reap. And man, we're going to talk about finances this morning, and we're going to talk about giving this morning. Not a topic that we have to talk about often in this church. And I just want you to know, as Believers Chapel, when we talk about giving, when we talk about really understanding what it is to give tithes and offerings and the purpose of giving, that's kind of where we're going this morning. But as a church congregation, can I just say this? You hear it all the time. We're very much open in the finances of this place. Everything that we own, the church owns the house there. The church just bought property out back, that field for parking lot. You know that we are pressing forward on a new building, and we have a building fund, and we're looking forward to a new building, hopefully next year. And it's going out that way, and it's blowing out all the way out back. It's going towards the house. We're talking with architects and builders and all kind of cool stuff. But everything that you see, this is awesome. Believers Chapel is debt-free, man. We own everything that you see. It's huge. It's huge. So please don't think for a moment that I preach this message in a sense where the church is in need. The church is in an amazing place financially. The building fund just continues to go up. We're looking forward to really pitching that and seeing where we're going. And once we get the definite architect drawing and a price on that building, then we just start flying and we start really looking at what's going to develop there. Building fund continues to increase. And we're so blessed as a church financially to really everything that we have, we own, and we owe the bank zero. So please understand my heart in this. It's not because, oh, the church is lacking, let's preach on giving and giving will increase. Church is in an amazing place because we have a body who understands what it is to follow Jesus, understands what it is to give and give cheerfully. I mean, but when you understand every day matters and you understand what it is, we sow seeds financially, you certainly do reap on that which you sow. So if you would please turn with me to two places, but I do want you to catch, the title this morning. Just praying over the title and just, I want you to understand that it's more than just a percentage. It's more than just a percentage. Because there's times that you look at the 10%. Yes, we believe in the 10%. We believe the Old Testament, New Testament. We believe in giving a tithe. The tithe means a tenth. That's what it means. But there's so many times that you can just get so focused on 10%. You get so focused on a percentage that you're just trying. It turns into this duty. It turns into this sense of just trying to fill a quota. And you miss. You miss what Jesus says about giving from the heart. You begin to really break it down and understand it's way, there's so much more to it than just a percentage. There's so much more to it than just trying to reach a quota, trying to reach that percent. And man, when you know, Renee and I, we try to be very transparent as the leaders of Believers Chapel, and we were going over our finances. And just so you know, because I always have to lead by example, based on the integrity, based on honor, based on leading. There's leaders who will drive you and push you, and there's leaders who will just be in front of you that you will follow. And I want to be the latter, man. I want to be the one that you're going to follow, that I'm not having to drive the sheep, but I want you to follow the leader in regards to who we are. And just so you know, we're at a place in our giving that we give between 15 and 18%. Of what comes in. And just every time we get paid, comes right back into the local church, right back into Believers Chapel. I believe the tithes and offerings go to the local church, the church that you're a part, the church that you're growing, the church that you're maturing, the church where God is moving in your life. That's where I believe that tithes and offerings go to, is the local church. And we are at a place where we're at between 15 and 18% every time we get paid. And we're because of a heart's desire not to fill a quota, because we want to always increase that. I want to get to a point where we're at 20 and then even 25%. But we have teenagers and they eat a lot of food and they cost a lot of money. You think they cost a lot when they're young. Woo! So we're looking to increase even the percent that we give here to the church. And some of you may say, well, that's really nothing because I give 50%. So it's not even reaching the quota. It's having that heart desire to really just want to give. It's a want to and not a have to. And this is where I really want to be careful. Please hear my heart in this. Because I grew up in a house, folks. I grew up in a house that was just a godly home that understood generosity, understood what it was to give the tithes and offer. There was no question. When I got a job, mom and dad would sit me down and say, now listen, you got to remember, out of a love for God and an honor for God, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I mean, tithes and offering was never difficult for me because this is the house that I grew up into. I grew up in a home where there was just generosity after generosity. There was meals that they would buy for people. I grew up with parents who were very generous mindset. They took on the character of God and generosity and understood what tithes and offerings really was and where it went. I never had a problem with that. You know, when you come to a place to understand that it is a matter of the heart, sometimes I think this. You know, sometimes I think for those who are just coming into the church, for those who've never been in church, when I say tithe, you're like, a what? I've already budgeted. You say, well, listen, when Renee and I first got married, we knew right away 10% plus is going to the Lord. It's in our budget. It's the very first line on my budget is given to the Lord. That's a first line, because I'm never going to come to a place to be at the end of the month or the end of the week or the end of the pay scale and say, you know what, God, I just don't have enough for you this week. So we put it right in the very beginning of our marriage. For 22 plus years now, We have it in our budget. It's been that way from day one, and we've never, ever lacked. It's never been an issue for us. It's always been a joy for us, and it's always a part of the budget. But man, I just know that some of you say, Sean, I've already budgeted 100%. I'm just coming to Christ now. This is totally new for me. I don't have 10%. I don't have that. I can't put that in. Man, then it's just something where when you understand this, and God is so graceful, God is so amazing, and He's like a father. He just doesn't come and say, well, it's 10% or nothing. When you understand this, and this is where I want to go today, this morning, when you understand that it is a matter of your heart, and it's a matter of you saying, God, I am in this now, this journey with you in Christ. I am now following you, and I'm in. And man, you become one who starts looking around and saying, man, I can cut here, and maybe I can get to 3%, and maybe I can, man, there'll be a day that I get to that 5%, and man, there'll be, and you begin to work at it and work at it and work at it. Finally, and again, it's not just reaching a quota. It's coming to that place saying, God, my heart is in this. This is my heart's desire. And then you know this church, folks. I don't ever want anyone to give in this church because you're forced to or because you feel like you have to. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of where we're at, cheerfully wanting to give. But I also know that there's so many people who are just coming to Christ. There's so many people who are just coming to church. And there's no way. There's no way you can call the bank and say, hey, listen, I had to give 10%. I can't pay my house building. So you'll understand, right? The bank will not understand that. So it's something out of a matter of the heart. You're like, okay, man, we can get to 1%. We can get to 3%. And you come to a point to be pumped when you really come to that place saying, God, we did it. And then you begin to look back and you begin to see how God blessed and how He provided and how He was faithful, because you didn't do it because you had to. You did it because it was your heart's desire to come to a place to honor God from your wealth. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. So I'm trying to be very careful with the home that I grew up into. And listen, it's funny because my dad, this is a true story. My dad, on the first date for my mom, he's loving my mom. You know, he wants to take her on a date. His first date, she comes. And I have my Nana is now long gone in heaven. She's having a blast in heaven. A very spiritual woman, amazing evangelist at 9 years old, books written about my Nana. So my mom grew up in an incredible spiritual home. So my dad, get this, this is a true story. My dad comes to the door, knocks on the door. Nana opens the door. Her first question, could you get this? Could you imagine? You're all excited, man. You're a young man. This girl, you're going to take her on a date. First date. Her mom comes to the door, and the first question opens the door. Young man, do you tithe? First question she asked my dad before she let my mom out the door. And then dad tells the story. He says, Sean, I didn't know how to spell tithe. But I lied. But you want to know why? Because when you see today that your giving is a picture of your heart. It's a picture of your heart. She didn't care what percent he gave to the church. He's saying, son, I want to know where your heart is. And where your money goes, that's where your heart is. So if you're going to take my daughter out, your heart better be right. And I know your heart's right because you give to God. It's an incredible question. I think us dads and moms could pick that up when boys come to our daughters. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, come on, turn over two places with me, please. You're probably already there. 2 Corinthians 9 and Matthew chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 9, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to bounce around a little bit. And I just want us to hear this. Look at this. Talking about reaping and sowing, talking about bountiful gifts. Here, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's talking about bountiful gifts that they gave. And he says this in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I love that. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. It's been the theme for this whole series, sowing and reaping. Every day matters. What you put in, you're going to eventually get out. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can I just say this to the young people, please? This is just on my heart, and I just feel like I need to say this, because if you are young, and you're in a place where you're looking to be married, or you know you're going towards the altar with somebody, or you're a teenager that's getting a job, can I just encourage you right off the bat that when you first get your first job, you understand what it is in a lifetime pattern of setting the standard of giving. Therefore, it's never an issue for you, ever. So as a teenager, when you get your first job, automatically you say, God, I want to honor you with this. God, it is my heart's desire to give. I want to give cheerfully. But God, I want to set a pattern, realizing that every day matters. And the things that I do now when I'm a teenager, and then when I'm in my 50s, if it continues the whole way through, God, I know that I will never lack, and I know that I will be blessed. But God, I want to set the standard right away, right off the bat. First thing, God, when I get a job, that percentage goes to you. Man, I'm not going to marry somebody who doesn't understand that, because I know their heart's not there. And God, when we get married, the very first line on our budget is tithes and offerings. That's the very first line. And then we can live off of the rest and understand what that really means. Can I tell you that as a young person, that if you start now, when you first get your first paycheck, God, I'm all in this. God, I want to honor you in this. And this is a two-part message. There's no way I finished this today. I couldn't finish it in the first service. So please make sure you are here next week. Next week is going to be an uptick in regards to what it looks like to honor God. Why don't we? Why ever would we hold back from the one who sent his son to die on a cross for us? Is that crazy? Why would we ever hold back? When we understand all that God did, that it should be our desire to honor him. To say, God, I want to honor you. Oh, that's next week. Come on, I got to get into this. We're running time. Don't miss that next week. But young people, please hear me in this. Start now. So that it just becomes everyday living for you. It becomes just natural for you to say, man, this just belongs to God. It's God's. You're going to hear even more on that next week. But I didn't say that in the first service. I want you to hear that, young people, that when you first get it, or if you're engaged to somebody, you know you're headed towards that direction, you set the standard now. Say, listen, man, if we're getting into this lifelong marriage, that the first goes to God, and you start out that way, you'll never have an issue. You don't have to make it up later. Come on, look at this. Verse 7, for each one must do as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance in every good work. Verse 10, now he who supplies, look at this, the he is God. Now God who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing for the harvest of your righteousness. Who is it all? Who is the one who supplies? There's two things here in 2 Corinthians 6. Number one, a bountiful gift. Here, Paul is writing this in amazement and thankfulness for those who gave above and beyond, for those who understood what it was for a bountiful offering. And secondly, we see here that God's the one who has it all and supplied it all. Everything that we have, the very air that we breathe, comes from God. So every resource that you have was God's first. So when you understand the tithe, it's not like we come to a place to say, listen, if I gave you, it's not like, please hear this, man. Sometimes we get all confused in this to think God needs our money. Well, God really needs money. God is not short on gold for the gold streets. He's not like, bummer, I ran out of gold for the streets. I need to go to Blacktop. God's not in that boat, folks. That's not, when you really understand this change of mind to say, God, you gave it to me anyways. I'm just honoring you by giving back. If I give you $10, if I'm the supplier and I give you $10 and you want to honor me by giving me a dollar, don't think that I need that dollar. I just gave you 10. I mean, do we understand that? It's not like God needs our money when we have a God who created the heavens and the earth. We have a God who gave us light. We have a God who gave us breath. We have a God who gave us all things to enjoy. We have a God who supplies all of our need. He's not in lack. So our mindset says, listen, even my giving, it isn't for God. In my giving, it really is for me. It's for my benefit. It's not like God has a need. It's not like your money is going to fulfill his need. When we know that in heaven, the Bible says the streets are paved with gold. He didn't run out of gold and say, man, it's going to be blacktop for that side of the street. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. So when we really get the right biblical picture, say, God, I give to you. And you know what? That's for me. That's for me. It's for my benefit. And we look at this. And we understand a bountiful gift. And when we understand what it is to give bountifully, we see some huge, huge gifts spiritually through Scripture. And we understand there's this amazing story in 1 Chronicles 29. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to touch on this. When you talk about extravagant giving, Yes, we have the 10%, and yes, we have above the 10%, and yes, you have that extravagant, incredible, amazing offering, and you've got King David, and he's building the temple, and this is where he comes to gather the finances for the building. So you've got a matter of the heart. Giving is about the heart, and giving is about God's provision. So here it is. I want to read this to you. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2. Now, with all my ability, this is King David, I have provided for the house of my God with all of my ability. Verse 3, moreover, in my delight, he says, in my delight, not forced, not under compulsion, not because I had to. He says, when I gave to build the temple, it was a joy. This is what he's saying. And you can go on and read. And he says, I have given above and beyond all that I have already provided for the holy temple. And there are scholars today that tried to break all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the bronze, and all of the pearls, and all of the precious stones. And they tried to break down what that would be in today's day in regards to an extravagant gift. And it's in the billions. Like they say, even 20 plus billion dollars today's day that King David, you want to talk about an extravagant gift. Was he forced? Was it under compulsion? It was a matter of his heart. It was his ability, and it was his delight. It was his joy to give to the house of God. And in today's day, we're talking billions. We're talking billions. But he understood something. He understood everything I have comes from you. And he said this, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you and rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in the loved and to make great and strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. Now, he says this right here. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generous as this? For all things come from you and from your hand we have given you. When you really understand, God, everything I have originally came from you. And I'm just honoring you and giving back out of my heart because I love you. Or do we come to a place to say, Sean, I worked for it. It's mine. This is what I believe. I believe I got up this morning because God allowed me to get up this morning. I believe the very breath and air that I breathe is God given to me. And every penny that I've made, it came from the hand of God because he allows me to be physical enough to work and to make an income. He allows me to do what I'm called to do. And in that, it all came from him. It all came from him. King David understood that in his extravagant gift and God blessing him. I want to read another story to you about extravagant gift. You know, because some of you are probably saying, Sean, I really don't have $1 billion. Like Jared Dolmans is probably saying, Sean, I got a couple billion for you. But for the rest of us human beings, we're probably saying, Sean, I don't have an extravagant gift. I don't have that. But there's an amazing story in Luke chapter 12. Verse 41 says this, and Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury and how and the many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins. We just went from an Old Testament account of King David giving in the billions to Jesus now in the temple. Temple is considered to be the local church of the New Testament. Jesus sitting in the temple watching. And I laugh because I think, what would it be like when we're taking up an offering if Jesus actually set up a chair right here? And why? I wonder if the offering would change. But here it's amazing that he sits and he watches those giving into the treasury. And he sees these rich people just pouring money in. He sees this. He observes these people with money just pouring in tons of money. And then you've got this, you can picture this poor little old widow walking down the aisle. And she comes up and she just drops clunk, clunk. And Jesus says, that equals 1 cent. And she walks away. At this point, man, we know the disciples are here. The disciples are probably like, what are you? They're looking at all the rich people putting in their money. And I can imagine that we know that Judas is present and we know that Judas is a thief. I can imagine Judas's mindset, because we know that he's a thief and he's greedy. He's looking at this. He's paying attention to all the rich people. He's paying attention to all those putting in the big bucks. And then he sees this poor widow coming down and he hears this clunk, clunk. Well, why would you even come? We don't need that. Like, that's, we don't need that money. I imagine from a thief's point of view, like, that does nothing for me. I can't take your 2 cents and do anything with. Why do you even drop that in the offering bucket? It means nothing to me. It's useless to the church. And then Jesus says this. Woo! I love it. I love it. And Jesus says this. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus does a huddle. He says, huddle up. He says, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. Could you imagine that? He's watching this and he sees all these rich people putting in money after money after just rolls of money. And then this poor widow comes up and she drops her 2 coins in, and Jesus, paying attention, he huddles up. His disciples says, did you see that? Did you see what she put in? Yeah, Lord, it really wasn't much. That's not going to do much for the temple. That's not going to take care of the poor. That's not going to do anything for the church. Yeah, we saw it. It wasn't really that big of a deal, really. I can imagine Jesus going, you missed it. You missed it. For she put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they out of their surplus gave, but she out of her poverty, she put in all that she owned. And all that she had to live on. Jesus is saying, you better get your eyes off the dollar amount. You better get your eyes on the heart. Because this woman gave more than that. This is amazing to me. We're talking about bankrolls of money going into the offering. And you got this poor woman. She comes up and she drops 2 coins. And Jesus, who is God, says this. She gave more than all. What I noticed, what God saw, was her heart was right. And in that, she's benefited and she's given more than all the rest. Because she gave out of her lack and a trust of him. Everyone else just gave out of everything that they had. And they had so much left over, but she came and gave out of nothing. She gave out of nothing. And she gave a cent. And Jesus says, you missed it. You missed it. She gave more than all the rest. Because she understood what it was to give from her heart. Again, folks, please hear me in this. Yes, I believe in the tithe. Yes, I believe in the 10%, but I don't believe in quota given. Oh, I've reached the 10%. I'm good. I've done everything I have to do. You've missed it. You've missed it. You come to a point to say, God, where's my heart in this? Come on, Matthew 6 says this. Matthew 6, this is amazing. This is Jesus speaking again. He says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, but where thieves do not break in and steal. Look at this, verse 21, here it is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can't get any clearer than that. Where your treasure is, where your finances are, there's your heart. And you know these there are some amazing people out there, and they give generously to the SPCA. Why do they give to the SPCA? Because they love animals. That's their heart. You see it all through a pattern of giving. Bible is true. Wherever you put your money, there your heart is. You see people who are just, man, so generous to cancer research. Why are those so generous to cancer research? Because someone they know or someone that they have loved have gone through cancer and they are begging for a cure. And that's where their finances go. Why is that? Because that's where their heart. Because it's tied to their heart. What about you and I, man, followers of Christ? What about you and I who understand those who are hurting and broken, those who are lost in this desperate world? What about you and I who understand what it is that, God, you are the great creator of all things, and you've given us all things to enjoy? Everything comes from you. And God, you have my heart. I'm a follower of Jesus. I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I belong to you, God. You have my heart. Does your treasure follow that? Is it a matter of your heart, folks? See, it's, if we could just learn this morning, it's so much more than just a percentage. It goes so further than that. It goes so much past a percent because it comes down to your heart. An amazing story in Matthew 23:23. Jesus is just going after the hypocrites. He says, you give your 10% on everything, even your dill weed, even you counting out every bean to the point. But he said, you missed it. You've given up on the weightier things like love and mercy and forgiveness. You've stuck to just the percent and you've missed the heart. He says, go into the matters of the heart. He says, don't forget about the tithe. But he says, you're hypocrites. You've missed it. You give with no heart. You give and you give your 10%, but you've missed it. He says this. No one can serve two masters, for he either hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And here wealth, mammon was an idol to wealth. So he's like, you can't serve money. You can't serve money as an idol. If you live only for money, he says you've missed it. It's become what you worship. And our heart goes towards what we worship, folks. Can you just bow your head just for a minute, please? Man, again, know my heart. This isn't a message because this church needs money. We're in a great place. I do believe that tithes and offerings comes to the local church. Folks, you got to remember, man, we're just in the first inning of this church. 7 years old. We're just in the first inning. There's so much that we can accomplish. There's so much that we can do. Where's this church going to be in 10 years? Wow. This message isn't for you to say that God needs my money. That's not true. He gave you what you have. This message isn't for you to try to reach some quota, 10%. The message for you to say, God, where's my heart? It's amazing that we've had two messages in this series, your money and your mouth, and both of them are tied to your heart. Out of the mouth comes that from which fills the heart. What is it that we're sowing? What is it that we're reaping? When our finances, man, when we really grab this, it's not God. It's not that you're after my money. It's not that you need my money. It's not that I'm trying to reach some quota. But God, it's about my heart. That God, I want to be all in my heart. I want to show this to you. I want to honor you in my finances. God, I want it to be a matter of my heart. And please hear me, man. When you understand, if you're a new believer and you're new to church and you're just coming to a place, say, Sean, there's no way that I can do this right now, man. My heart's desire is to do this. Please understand this. The Bible equates new believers or people new to church as just newborn infants. You don't start them off on steak. You start them off on milk. It's the same thing with you and I. Man, you come to a place, say, man, this is my heart's desire to do this. Man, and it's amazing that the Bible defines our journey with Him as a walk. One step after the next. One step, that's not a sprint. It's not a race. It's a walk. As we just continue to say, God, if all I have is my two mites, God, you see it. If all I have is just a little bit to give, Jesus, you notice it. Jesus, you know my heart. You know the condition of my heart. So where are you in this morning? Father, I just ask, and I hope that I have communicated this in a loving, graceful way, God, a very open way. God, it's about the condition of our hearts. God, we want to give. We want to love to give. We want to give as a delight. We want to give cheerfully, God. We want to give as a joy, not because we have to, not because we're forced to. But all that you've done for us, how can we not give? All that you've given us, God, how can we not want to give back? Father, I just ask in this moment that you would just speak to all of us in this place. What is the condition of our hearts. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.